Otherwise, we'll turn to Isaiah, please, chapter number 5. Isaiah chapter number 5 is where we'll start for tonight, but we'll be in Isaiah chapter 5. We'll get going. Pray for Brother Eduardo. I know he'll be traveling still Friday, Brother Eduardo. So he's heading down to Mexico, and he'll be bringing his mom back with him. So pray for them as they travel. Anyone else need one while they're passing us out? Dylan needs one. There, thanks, Coy. And all right, Isaiah chapter 5. We're going to again continue our study tonight, looking at different sins in the Bible and why it's a sin. We'll look at what the Word of God says about these to the best of our ability. Tonight, obviously, you can see it in front of you. We're going to be studying the sin of sodomy. We live in a world, we live in a nation, we live in a community that is pushing a sodomite agenda. And that's very unfortunate. And it doesn't matter what anybody says, what any whatever title they have in front of them, no matter how popular they are, no matter if they're an actor, sports star, doctor, it doesn't really matter. All that matters is what God says. And the Bible says that sodomy is a sin. Now, our children are being targeted with lies. They're being targeted and told that, you know, it's maybe an alternative lifestyle or, you know, just natural even, or that you can have these sorts of quote-unquote feelings and that it's normal. It's not. It's sin. Because we take a stand on these things, it's assumed that we hate, which is very far from the truth. God can save anyone. And it doesn't matter what the sin is. And sodomy is a sin. It's a wicked sin, and we'll look at it. But they can be delivered from their sin just as we were delivered from whatever sins were great and powerful in our life as well. But we cannot condone sin. We must continue to preach what thus saith the Lord. Now, we have an older generation that knows it's wrong, believes it's wrong, knows it's evil, knows it's wicked. But there's a younger generation that's being raised up in the world that it's okay, it's normal, it's even right. In our churches, our younger people typically are not that way. But here's most of the time the attitude amongst the younger generation in our independent Baptist churches is, it's a joke. It's funny. They joke about it. And that's about as far as they think. And you say, well, is it right or wrong? Well, it's wrong. But have them explain why. They better know why. Because the world is flooding them with quote-unquote reasons why it's okay. And just because the church says that it's wrong is not going to help them in the long run if they don't understand what the Word of God says about it. So we have to study it for this reason too, so that we all have understanding, because I don't care who you are, we are all being just bombed with their agenda. It's everywhere, and we need to know, well, what does God think about this? And look in Isaiah chapter 5, and this kind of summarizes what we're going to talk about tonight. Verse number 20 says, woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strong to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Verse 24, therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Now, if I could summarize what's going on with the sodomite agenda, I just read it. In the world that we live in today, they want to take this evil and call it good. They want to take this darkness and call it light. They want to disregard the law of the Lord and disregard the Holy One, our Lord God, and put their agenda first. Well, if they're not changed and their life is not changed by the Holy Spirit of God, that sin will consume them. It will control them. And we'll look at the devastation of it tonight very briefly. But we as Christians have to understand why it's wrong. And we have to understand and have a biblical foundation for it because, and I hate saying this, but it's just a fact. This is not something far out there that's going on in some weird place in the middle of nowhere. Solid, I mean strong churches right in our community have had young men and their churches come out as being a sodomite. Just in the last year. And the pastors are heartbroken. If the Lord doesn't return and the world continues down this path that's going on, it will happen one day here. Someone will get caught up in this sin. I hate saying it. This is a wicked sin. And our job is not to wait and then when someone does, to bash them over the head. Our job is to teach why it's wrong, what the Word of God says, to enable them to overcome this wicked sin when these temptations are brought their way. Young people and adult alike, I'm looking at you and saying, you do not have these feelings in your life. They're not natural. It has a word. It's a lust. It's a sin. And should the world try to tell you otherwise, the devil's a liar. Our world knew and has said that this is wrong and shameful just until recent days. I mean, you get a dictionary. Everyone likes to use Webster's 1828. I don't know why that's like the king of dictionaries, right? But if you look up sodomy in Webster's 1828, it says, quote, a crime against nature. A crime against nature. Because nature teaches otherwise. Well, let's look. Some may say, preacher, don't you know we have young people in the room? I do. The world isn't holding back. And they're pushing their agenda, and we better teach our young people why it's wrong. So we're going to do this tactfully and biblically. Look at it with me. We're using the same outline we've used for every one of these sins we've covered. Number one, the Bible has much to say about sodomy. Go back in Genesis chapter number 13. Genesis chapter 13, we use our Bibles a lot in these studies because that's all that matters. Genesis chapter number 13, and we're going to look here at what the Bible says. Look at a lot of verses. Most of the time it's just notes, and I left a few blanks just to keep you honest, all right? So you pay attention, all right? But Genesis chapter number 13, and we'll, again, we're not doing an exhaustive study. That would take more time than what we have. But Genesis 13 will start in verse number 13. We know it's called sodomy because the roots of it found in Genesis, a first mention, the people of Sodom were involved in this sin. And look at it here in Genesis 13, in verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord. Now look at the next word. What's it say? Exceedingly. Exceedingly. Now I got news for you. Everybody on the face of the earth can be classified as wicked and sinners. You and I can be classified as wicked and sinners. That's what we were, all right? But the Bible chose an extra adjective here to describe the men of Sodom and their sin. It was exceedingly wicked. Exceedingly they were sinners. You see, God's already introducing us to this wicked sin and showing us what he thinks about it. Turn over to Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis chapter 18. Not only is were the men here wicked and sinners exceedingly, but in Genesis 18, they're described again in verse number 20. It says, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is what? Very grievous. Very grievous. Now again, every sin is wicked, But I'm just trying to give us an idea of how God is describing this sin. He said it is a sin that is exceedingly wicked, exceedingly sinful. Here we see that to God that this sin is very grievous. I hope if anything, we're at least helping our young people to understand it's really not something to joke about. It's really not something to laugh at and to take lightly. This is a wicked sin that God has already, just in its very first two mentions, tells us how wicked and exceedingly grievous that it is to God. Turn over to Leviticus chapter 18, and we'll get back to the story of Sodom a little bit later in the message, but look over in Leviticus chapter number 18. Leviticus 18 and in verse number 22. Leviticus 18, 22. Says this. God's giving just simple law here that we ought to understand. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. It is declared by God in this passage to be an abomination. It's an abomination. So as a child of God already, just in taking our first glimpse in the Bible and what it says about it, it is wicked, it is exceedingly wicked, it is exceedingly sinful, it is very grievous to God, and it is declared to be an abomination. Maybe you sit there and say tonight, well, you know, I'm not so sure, you know, we ought to take the stand that we do. Well, God took this stand. This is what God has given us. Look over in Leviticus chapter number 20. Now, don't take this in the wrong direction. I'm not, you know, I don't think, you can go back, we've got about 12 years of sermons online that you can go back and listen to, and I've said this phrase over and over and over and over again, we do not hate the Sodomite. The Sodomite, we ought to love them and want to see them get saved. There's no hatred at all. If a Sodomite walked into our church Sunday, I hope they stay for the entire service and they listen to the gospel, and I hope that people show themselves friendly and we try to win that person to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going around throwing rocks at them. I'm not going around being hateful and mean. It is a sin. But I, at the same time, because of the world we live in and the agenda they're pushing, child of God, you have to understand this is a wicked sin. It's a wicked sin. Look in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse number 13. It says this, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, that is Old Testament. That was the law that God had given to Israel to protect his people. But we read it today to understand God's hatred and God's viewpoint on this sin. Now, why would God have such a penalty on this sin? Because this sin will destroy a people. This sin will destroy a nation. This sin will destroy the foundations of whatever people it's involved in. And God had to take a strong stand for his people against this sin. Turn over to Isaiah chapter number 3. Isaiah chapter 3. Again, we can't look at every verse tonight, but I do want to give you a good summary of things in Isaiah chapter 3 and in verse number 9. Isaiah 3, verse number 9. It's interesting to read this verse. Isaiah 3, verse number 9, we'll get two things out of this verse quickly. Isaiah 3 and verse number 9 says this, the show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. Now I'll pause first of all and make this statement, their look and their countenance will show it. Now, people will take that and say, well, you're so judgmental. Well, the fact is this, by their fruits ye shall know them, and God said, by their look and their countenance you will know it. I mean, you have to stick your head in the sand to not understand what I'm talking about. When someone is involved in this sin, it will show itself. Every time. Now, on a few occasions, you say, well, I didn't see that coming. I understand that. But the word of God is true here. It's just understood. You've done it as well as I have, not being mean-spirited, but you've seen and you know in your heart. Just being, you know, somewhere at the grocery store, the bank, or anywhere, and you know by the countenance. I'm not being mean, not upset at them. I'm just reading you what the Bible says. The Bible says that this will be true. Why? Again, now look at me. Because sin always affects you. I mean, a lot of people will go so upset by me making that statement. Matter of fact, I guess this sermon's going out, right? If the wrong person sees this, who knows what's going to happen, right? But the fact is this, I don't care what the sin is, it will eventually show itself on you. We've all seen the drug addict, the alcoholic. It shows itself. No matter what it is, the more you allow yourself to get involved in a sin, it will reveal itself on your countenance. Then you'll notice next, I believe it's F, I guess, in the same verse, Isaiah 3:9. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. Look at it. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil for themselves. Evil unto themselves. You notice here, it is a sin of pride. A sin of pride. It says their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin. They hide it not. Turn over to Ezekiel, same point, but look over in Ezekiel, a few pages to the right, and in chapter number 16. Ezekiel chapter number 16, and in verse number 49. Ezekiel chapter 16, and in verse number 49, says this, Ezekiel 16:49, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride. Fullness of bread and abundance of idleness was in her hand, in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." Pride. This sin is associated as a sin of pride. It's the only sin where communities stop and have a pride week. I mean, everyone hears that word, right? Gay pride. First of all, the world has chosen, first they chose the word homosexual because it was a neutral term, wasn't really offensive. Then they've taken the title gay, which means joyous and happy, which is the opposite of what that sin does. It is a sin of pride. At first it will be, when the person first gets involved in it, it will be great shame. The longer they allow that sin into their life, eventually it will be a prideful thing. Pretty soon they're carrying their flag. They're doing, you say, you know, "Well, I can't stand that." Well, it's like any sin. You ought to pray for them and try to reach them with the Lord Jesus Christ. But understand, they do that because that's what this sin does. It creates a pride in them. They're proud of their sin. It's associated, and there's other verses associating this wicked sin of Sodom with pride. Turn over to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Again, we could stay at all these points for quite a while, but we're just trying to do a quick Bible study on this. Romans chapter 1. It is shown in the New Testament to be wicked. There's some people out there say, "Well, the New Testament's quiet on it." Well, it's not quiet on it at all. All right? It's talked about quite a bit, and we'll look at these verses tonight, Lord willing. But it's shown here in the New Testament to be wicked. In Romans 1, look at verse number 24. Romans 1 and verse number 24 says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." Now you see here some things about this sin described in the New Testament. Number one, and back in verse number 24, you can glance at these, it is dishonoring. It is dishonoring. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies." It is dishonoring. It is a shameful act. Shameful. Dishonoring. Verse number 25, it violates God's truth. It says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. See, what is the truth of God? Well, we'll talk about it later, but God set a natural order of things, a way that things should be God ordained. And it takes what God says is true and says it's a lie. If someone that's involved in the sin of sodomy was hard-hearted and listens to this sermon, and you're sitting, they'll look at you and say, he is lying to you. All right? Because this sin brings that hatred of God's truth. It stirs that in them. It violates God's truth. Also in verse number 25, it takes the glory from God. It says to serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forevermore. We'll talk about it later, but a husband and wife relationship, one of the reasons God gave us a husband and wife relationship is to bring glory to God. Ephesians chapter number 5, the husband and wife relationships, I speak a mystery, but I speak about Christ and the church. Every husband and wife relationship is one that should bring glory to God. It is all a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. Churches should be reproducing other churches. We should be living for the Lord. The Lord gives himself for us and all the pictures that are there. And this violates God's truth and it destroys what should be a glorious thing to God and blasphemes it. Number 4, it is vile against nature. In verse number 26, God gave them up to vile affections. And then it says there at the end of the verse, to do that which is against nature. Nature teaches this is wrong. Nature itself teaches that the sin of sodomy is weird and wrong and hurtful. Number 5, it is in the verse number 27, it is a wicked lust and unseemly. In verse number 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. You say, well, you know, the person that's involved in the sin will say, you don't understand, I have feelings for that person. No, you are involved in a wicked lust. I mean, what would you do if, you know, your spouse came to you and said, it's not wrong, I have feelings for another person? No. Now, your flesh may be tempted. That's called sin and lust. The world will bring these temptations, and when people start going down this slippery slope, a believer can get caught up in this junk. And these temptations will come, but it is, the Bible says, a wicked lust. It is unseemly. That word means this, inappropriate. It's inappropriate. It's wrong. It's unseemly. Letter H, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 9. Again, the Bible's New Testament is not silent on the issue. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Those involved, this is their life. They will not repent of this sin. This is their life. This is their sin. This is what they're going to do. They're not saved. Now, you got to keep reading this passage. Paul said, of such were some of you. God can change this. But those who sit there and say, it's my sin, I'm not changing. And God, there's no, as we know that what we talked about last Thursday, there's no chastening of the Lord. There's no conviction. That person's lost. When they continue in the sin, and they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 6. 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse number 6. It says this in 2 Peter 2, 6. And turning, again, we're looking at what the Bible says, has a lot to say about this sin. 2 Peter 2 and verse number 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live. What's the word? It's ungodly. It's ungodly. So next time before you want to joke about this sin, before you want to consider that maybe it's okay, Before you begin to swallow some of the world's lies about this sin, remind yourself what the Word of God says, that it is wicked and sinful exceedingly. It is very grievous to God. It is declared to be an abomination. It demanded the death penalty in the Old Testament. The look and the countenance will show it. It is a sin of pride. It is dishonoring, violates God's truth, takes the glory from God. It is vile and against nature. It is wicked, lust, and unseemly. And those that will not repent will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's just ungodly. We have no business playing around with this sin. It's wicked. So now let's look at some biblical truths about sodomy. First, let's look at its origin. Again, we'll make our way in just a second to Genesis, but I want to see some things that build a foundation. Go to 1 Kings, backwards now. 1 Kings. Try to keep things in order pretty much. Sometimes you can't do that. But 1 Kings chapter number 14. 1 Kings chapter 14. We've already studied a sin. That sin is idolatry. And we looked at what idolatry is and how it shows itself and expresses itself. This sin has its roots in idolatry. Has its roots in idolatry. In 1 Kings, you will see it always associated with idolatry. In 1 Kings chapter number 14, look in verse number 22. 1 Kings chapter 14. And in verse number 22, "And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done." Now, what did they do so wicked? I mean, now if we stop a second and think about all that the children of Israel's fathers had done before this, we had quite a list. Now, we're talking golden calf, the murmuring, we could go on and on and on and on, all the wicked things they did. This is above all, verse 23, "For they also built them high places and images, and groves on every high hill and under every green tree, and there were also sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." So we see here that is associated with idolatry. Look over in chapter 15, in verse number 12. You get one more verse at this. 15:12. It says, "And he took away," this is King Asa, "he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made." So you see idolatry and sodomy being related. Why? Because when we turn our backs from the only God and we turn ourselves towards a religion that glorifies man, that is the end of that game. Man will seek to pleasure himself and will get more and more and more down, like a spiral going down, and you'll be amazed how far sin will take you. And idolatry, also paganism. Turn over to 2 Kings chapter number 23. 2 Kings 23. It is a pagan practice. See, what is paganism? That's ignorant of God's laws. Ignorant of God's laws. In 2 Kings chapter number 23 and in verse number 5, you'll see what they did. It says, "And he put down the idolatrous priest," 2 Kings 23:5, "whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem into the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it in small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove." You'll see here they got involved in all these pagan practices, the burning of incense and building these high places. They even were doing it right next door to the house of God. And what was going on? They just brought in the world's thinking. They became ignorant of what God says. This is exactly what we see today. Because of a world that we live in, now look at me, that has pushed out God for about a generation and a half, that has raised up an entire generation that thinks God is either doesn't exist or that he's just a crutch for people and have nothing to do with him. And they raise up a generation that is totally ignorant of this book and what the Word of God says. And then what happens is this: the mind and the body is open up to fall into these wicked sins. That's why this sin is running rampant today, because we raised a generation, even back 2-3 generations ago, because everybody pretty much had some sort of religious background, was taken to Sunday school when they were a kid. This was a shameful sin. Not to say some didn't get involved in it, but it was wicked. It was done in a closet. It was a shameful thing. Not today. Today they try to put shame on anyone who will say it's wrong. You see, the roles have switched. Why? Because a paganistic thought, paganistic thinking, man-pleasing, what feels good, do that. Turn back to Genesis 19. We'll read the passage here of this wicked sin and how it even got its name. Everyone pretty much knows the story. Lot's living in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And its origin comes from idolatry, paganism. And then you also see here, it's just a lustful heart. So where does these feelings come from? Well, it's sin, and it's lust, and it comes from a wicked heart. In Genesis chapter number 19, just to read the passage so we know, because, and I'll pause here for a second. You know, in studying for this sermon, I expect the world to mock pretty much everything we're going to look at tonight. The most appalling thing to me is this, and I challenge you adults, all right? Check me out on this. Go ahead and do a Google search of Baptist and what is sodomy. Let me tell you what you're going to find. The entire first page, no matter what search engine you use, it's going to tell you how that sodomy is not what you've been told. I was appalled by this. That sodomy is a sin of inhospitality, and that people have used and abused these verses to say it's something that it's not. And they use different perversions of scriptures to say that we're wrong. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about, unfortunately, Baptist churches. Baptist churches that has given in to the wicked pleasures of this world. And for whatever reason, by coincidence, right, you have to go through a couple pages to find what real men of God have written about this. It won't be on the front page. The front few pages are why we're wrong on this. That the sin is one of inhospitality and pride, which it is, but far more than that, read the scripture. Don't take this the wrong way. You have to be ignorant to read this scripture and not think otherwise. Read it with me. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he, Lot, pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And all these little pages that you can read says they just wanted, you know, to abuse, to be mean to them, and to mistreat them. That is not what these verses are talking about. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and we will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door, and then smote on these two angels, did all the men with blindness. Now, you have to be ignorant and desiring to change the word of God to not see the wickedness that is going on here. Right. They weren't trying just to go out and have fun with these guys and be inhospitable to them. In the same way that Adam knew his wife and bare a child, in the same way that Isaac knew his wife and bare a child, that's this thing, this wicked sin that they were promoting here. That is the sin that God said is very grievous. That is the sin that God said is an abomination. And these men here who come from a lustful heart. It leads to this. Go all the way to Romans, in chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. The origin. We're just looking at the origin. It is idolatry. It is paganism. It is a lustful, wicked heart. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 28, this sin also leads to and comes from, number 4, a reprobate mind. It says in Romans 1 and in verse number 28, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Reprobate. We're going to talk about the word in a minute. But reprobate. Just, who cares? Who cares? Wicked mind. It is one done, number 5, in rebellion. Now, we don't have to turn there. Leviticus 18:22, we've already read the verse. It says that man shall not lay with mankind as with womankind. That little statement right there says a lot. He shall not lay with mankind as with womankind. You know what that says? That is natural in the way that God foreordained things. When God created man and woman in the Garden of Eden, again, He created Adam and Eve. A man and a woman. Marriage was first institutionalized there in the Garden of Eden. And it was between a man and a woman. Adam then, Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 1, knew his wife and she bare children. That is nature. That is the way God ordained marriage and the husband and wife relationship to be and the natural product thereby. That, the wicked sin of Sodom, goes against nature. It is an absolute, now look at me, it is man lifting their fist to God and saying no. The same thing with this transgender mess. It is messed up individuals lifting their eyes to God saying, no, you're wrong. God's not wrong. When God created, He created with a purpose. He did all things right and good. It is man's wicked rebellion to go against the law of God, to say no to what God ordained and what God foreordained, and to say, no, God, my way. It is an absolute rebellion. So the origin of it is idolatry, paganism, a lustful heart, a reprobate mind, and rebellion. Letter B, you see the operation of it. Where do we find it in the scripture? Again, some of these we've already looked at, but I want to give you some words we didn't highlight yet. Romans 1, 24, we're right there. Read the verse. Again, it is an act of uncleanness. It says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Uncleanness. You know what that word means? Dirty, diseased. There are diseases and epidemics that find its origin in the sin of sodomy. Because God gave them up to uncleanness. Again, we've already said this. It is dishonoring. Romans 1 and verse number 24. It is a dishonor. That means it's shameful. That's why we probably, young people, shouldn't joke about it. Because it's shameful. It's a dishonoring. Again, here's the verse we talked about in just a second. A reprobate mind in verse number 28 of Romans 1. The word reprobate means this, rejected and worthless. Now, they're not saying the person's rejected and worthless. Understand what the verse is saying? A reprobate mind, they're not using their head. They are ignoring what they know to be right. Their mind knows this is wrong. But God has given them up to a reprobate mind where they're ignoring the knowledge that they have. Their mind is useless. You following me? They're not even going to consider it. 1 Corinthians 6:9, we already read this verse. But again, I'll read it to you. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. The sin is shown in men being effeminate. And the opposite of that, in a lady acting manly. That's something you don't hear preached on much, but it shows itself in men acting effeminate. Mom and dad, teach your boys to be manly. Your ladies, young ladies, you ought to act like a lady. You say, well, that's just not me. No, it's a stubborn, rebellious heart that doesn't want to go by what the law of God is. This effeminate world that we live in, the demasculizing of men, it's sad. And when we allow our young men to just grow up and act effeminate, we're setting the stage. It is number 5 in Colossians 3 and verse number 5. Look at this verse real quick. Colossians 3 verse number 5 should be pretty close. Another word used for this sin is inordinate affection. Colossians 3 and verse number 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, there's that word, inordinate affection. The word inordinate affection means this. Inordinate affection means, if I can give you a simple word for that, depressed. Depressed. Not my study, I'm just giving you facts. You can look them up. 35 to 40% of all those who say that they are sodomites are deeply depressed. Not my stats. From Grand Rapids, Michigan, a study, I forget what the study was called, but you can look it up. 40% of sodomites try or succeed in suicide. There's a feeling of loneliness. So that's because people don't accept them. No. It's because it's a natural result of sin. I already told you. A sodomite walks in church Sunday, I will welcome them. I'll try to go visit them. I'll try to get them to do a Bible study. I'll try to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not... There are people out there, I guarantee that hatred. Guarantee that's true. But I got news for the sodomites that like to point at them people, that there are just as prized many people out there who hate me and you too for what we say. If you don't believe me, you can check my inbox. They don't like us. Go ahead and go stand down in Cincinnati and preach. See what reception you get. Go down there and hold up your flag. It's not a matter of, you know, well, they feel depressed and suicidal and lonely because, no, people hate the believer too. It's sin that does that. Sin leaves you hopeless. You're all quiet, that's the truth. Sin leaves you hopeless. It is in Jude 7. I'll give you another verse for this sin. Jude 7. We're almost done. Jude 7. It says this, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after, here's the phrase, strange flesh. It's another biblical expression of sodomy. So what's that mean, going after strange flesh? Well, it's really simple. Husband and wife relationship that God ordained, when God, the husband and wife get married, the Bible says they become one, what? Flesh. That's God ordained. A husband and a wife become one flesh. It is strange flesh to commit this wicked sin. It is going after strange flesh, that which is not right, that which is foreign, that is wrong in iniquity. So you see here the origin, the operation, but again, like every week, the overcoming. Man says, well, they've been born that way. They can't help it. Yes, they can. It's a sin that can be repented of and found victory over. Again, go back. We mentioned this verse, 1 Corinthians 6. Stay with me. We're almost done. 1 Corinthians 6. Again, read it in verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 9. Again, I would just say this with 1 John 1, 7. We can go to 1 John 1, 9. Psalm 103, verse 12. We have Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. I could go on and on and on, but the bottom line is this. God will deliver. The blood of Jesus Christ will set you free from any sin. God will always make that way of escape. God tells us to come to Him. He will give us victory. I love this verse here concerning this. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I'm thankful today that no matter the sin, the blood of Jesus Christ will set you free from the bondage of any sin that's out there, including the sin of sodomy. But a sodomite must come. They must repent of their sin. They must turn from that sin and give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the sodomite need more than anything? Truth. 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 We'll do them no good by patting on the back and say, well, your sin's okay. They need truth. Ephesians chapter 4, most of you can probably quote this verse. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. John chapter 8 and verse number 32, and they shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. They need God. They need His word. I close with this last thought in Luke chapter 17 and verse number 28. This world that we live in is to be expected because it is a sign of the last days. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Lot. As it was in the days of Lot. When we look at this world that we live in, the sin of sodomy, and we see its agenda being pushed and the pride that is there in this wicked sin, I don't go hide under a rock. I don't go, shake in my bed and hide under the covers. The Lord said this was going to happen. And if anything, there's someone that you can love, share the gospel with, and let the Holy Spirit of God do a change in their life. We live in a world today, we don't like talking about it, but I'm looking at Kazada Baptist Temple, and probably every one of us have either a family member or a close relationship with someone that we know is involved in this sin now. That's just the world we live in. So what do? Continue to speak the truth in love. I don't think if we replayed the message tonight that you'll find an angry pastor who hates a certain type of person. I've tried to reiterate all night. The only thing between us and being just like them is the Lord Jesus Christ. If it weren't for His love and His salvation, I shudder to think where my life would be. And we live in a world today that promotes certain sins. And this is a sin that's being pushed in everyone's face. And we as believers need to know what is the truth, how to share the truth, and try to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ.